I hope that you are determined to live by faith, because the Bible tells us that we are to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. In fact, God goes so far as even to say that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so living by faith is very important. Faith is believing God, believing what God says about us, about our lives, about the way we're supposed to live our lives. And it's very important that we as Christians live by faith, live by the faith of the Word of God, because if we're not careful, we can get off track and start to believe things and do things that aren't right, and we can end up hurting a lot of people in the process. And it's not in my message this morning, and I believe I actually might address it a little bit more next week, but you know, we had this tragedy that happened down in, I think it was North Carolina, where this car ran into these protesters with all this stuff going on, just craziness. And I will say this about that. If anybody that does those things claims to be a Christian, they're sadly and sorely mistaken. It's like grape nuts. It's neither grape nor nuts. You are not a Christian. And if you believe that one people group is better than another group for the color of their skin, I don't know why we chose color of our skin. Why not color of our eyes or the height? You know, maybe we're 6'1 and over, so we're better than you. You know, I don't know why we chose that. But it's interesting. And there is no difference. God made that very clear, that we're all of one blood. He made up nations all one blood, and we're all the same. We're all a people group. We all need to come together and work together. It's so important that we understand that we do that, and that we do take the time to condemn those that start to think that they're superior for the color of their skin. And it's such a ridiculous thing to think. And anyway, James chapter number 2. I might say more about it because I want to talk about faith and humility next week, and getting the right view of self next week. But we'll, for today, go to James chapter 2 and look at verse number 14. Here's what it says. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified works when he hath offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou hast how faith wrought this works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by faith a man is justified, not by faith, or by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray that you would help us this morning see a truth from your word that will help us have a dynamic life of faith, to live a life of faith, to see that faith does move us to action. And so, God, I do pray that you bless this morning. I pray that you help us see these truths, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, one of the reasons why we desire to have a faith, because that faith does work itself out in our life, and it produces behaviors and actions that will help us be successful in life. We want to be successful. As a Christian, I want to live a life that's pleasing to God, but more than that, I want to glorify God. And yes, I want to be able to say, I live my life for something that counted, that meant something. And when I die, I live my life for something that was meaningful. And so I want a faith that works. And God's design is that our faith be a living, dynamic testimony of his power. So that when people see our faith and the way that we live our life, they can point to a God who's powerful, who's real, who's alive, who changes things for the better. And so we want to live by faith. You know, it's exciting to see something that works really well. It's neat to watch, whether it's a baseball team that's a good team, or a basketball team, or whatever, or business, or whatever the case may be. It's good to see something that's good, successful. It works well. That's a well-oiled machine, or a car, or a lawnmower that just works. It's good to see it. It's good to see a church that works, that's functioning, that's doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's a blessing. I'm thankful to be a part of this church. I love this church. I love what we're able to do together for the cause of Christ. It's a blessing. The epistle of James was written to Jewish believers who are scattered outside of Jerusalem, possibly even to the skirts of Syria. They were being challenged to live out their faith even though they were enduring a time of trouble. And for others, it was a matter of being sure that their faith was genuine. Now, how do we know that our faith is genuine? You know, I don't know if you've ever been that place where you've doubted your faith. I think we all have. I have. Or we've doubted our faith. We've doubted what we believe. And is this right? Is it real? Am I trusting the Word of God? Have I just done something in my own heart and life? Have I imagined this? How do we know that what we're believing is genuine? And that's the thing I want to look at first this morning, is the deception of false faith. There are three kinds of faith identified in this passage this morning. First of all, there's a dead faith. There's a demonic faith, and then there's a dynamic faith. And we want to focus on the dynamic faith. I want to be a Christian who has a dynamic faith. I don't want a dead faith. I definitely don't want the same faith that demons have. A demonic faith. I want to have a dynamic faith that works itself out, that has fruit that remains. Obviously, dead faith is a false kind of faith. In verses 14 through 17, the Bible gives us an illustration of a brother that needs some sustenance. They're naked, they're without their daily food. And we say to them that without their daily food, hey, be warmed and be filled. God bless you. Have a great life. You know, we'll see you around. And we don't take it upon ourselves to meet that need. How can you say that you have faith? How can you say, yeah, I'm a person that has faith? That faith is dead faith, because it doesn't meet the need of the person who has the need. And so it's a dead faith. Dead faith gives a false profession. A man, the Bible says, may say. You know, that reminds me of Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, where the Bible says, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and have in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto him, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't want to have that kind of faith. I don't want to have that faith that in the day that we meet Christ, we say, yeah, I've done all these great things in your name, I've done them, but I didn't have the basis of faith. I didn't believe you. Isaiah 29 and verse 13, the Bible says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. It's an amazing verse. Where they honor me with their lips and with their mouth. They say, yeah, I love the Lord. But their fear of God is brought about by the precepts of men. Meaning that there's traditions and there's ideas. There's guilt trips that have been laid on people. They say, yeah, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And that's where the fear of God comes from. Not from a relationship with God. Not from understanding who God is. Not from understanding his awesome power, his awesome might. And how much he loves me personally. But rather the precepts of men have taught us the fear of God. And in that situation, we honor him with our lips, but our heart is not there. I don't know if you've ever had somebody that's loved you in word only, but not with their hearts. That's an empty feeling. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're great. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. Yeah. Nobody likes to be loved like that. And God is no exception. Where we say, yeah, I love God, but in our heart, we don't live for him. We don't truly love him. And so we don't want to have a dead faith. By the way, dead faith, gives no salvation. What this faith does, it kind of presumes an identity of a Christian. Like I mentioned earlier, there are people that may profess to be Christians. They may say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe these things about God. But in reality, their works demonstrate something much different. They're not caring. They're not loving. They're not joyful. They don't demonstrate Christ. Oftentimes, they're selfish. Oftentimes, they're plain evil, hateful even. But the label is there. I don't know if you've ever met an impersonator. I've actually met a guy who, walking down the sidewalk, thought he was Elvis. Not just trying to impersonate him, but he really did think, I'm Elvis. He's got all the gear on. He's got everything going. I'm Elvis. You know, he's like, he thought he was that person. He was assuming the identity of that person. Sometimes, if we're not careful, that's what a dead faith does. It assumes the identity of a Christian. Because I am a Christian, but really, again, there's no heart. There's no heart that's beating for God. There's no desire to be closer to God. There's no desire to live for the things of God. It's dead. And that faith can do a lot of damage, again, because it doesn't bring salvation. That type of faith doesn't save. That's just an identity only that just says, yeah, I am this, and give a label to it. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Believing the gospel, that's the power of God unto salvation. That's how to be saved. Not claiming to be a Christian. There's a distinct difference between those two. Because I can say all day I am a Christian and not believe the gospel. I can put the t-shirt on, I'm a Christian. I can get the bumper sticker on the car, I'm a Christian. I can put the Facebook status, I'm a Christian. I can do all of that and not believe the gospel. And that's a dead faith. There's no salvation in that. Salvation comes from believing the gospel. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believing in Jesus Christ, trusting in what he did for us on the cross, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that brings salvation. That's what it's all about. False faith doesn't bring salvation, but it also avoids responsibility. As we read about this brother or sister who needed something to be done, they needed somebody to give them some food, they needed somebody to give them some clothing, and we just said, hey, be warm, to be filled, have a good life. You know, that's difficult. It avoids responsibility. When it comes to faith, it is God who gives us the desire to grow and to serve. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God's going to be able to do a work in us from salvation that helps us to want to and to do his good pleasure. The reason this type of faith avoids responsibility is because it's dead. We don't take responsibility. We're not growing. We're not serving. We don't want to love because the faith is dead. And I want to challenge you. Don't just have an identity of a Christian. Have a faith in the gospel. That's what we need. Don't just say, yeah, that's me. I'm a Christian. And I don't think we should ever be ashamed of being a Christian, of what a true Christian is. A believer in Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm never ashamed to be associated with Christ, ever. But simply getting the label is not the end game. You know, even as a church, we desire to give the gospel to people, to see them saved, to see them born again, to see them have a relationship with Christ, to see them begin walking with him by the Spirit. That's awesome. That's our goal as a church, as a ministry. That's the Great Commission. And then to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then to teach them, to disciple them, to follow Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. But the last thing I want to do is to get a bunch of people and convince them that, hey, let's call ourselves Christians. Because ultimately, that's not belief in Christ. But to call people to the faith in Jesus Christ. That's our goal. There's a preacher who is preaching to a group of teenagers about the problem of living under the weight of sin. And one of the teenagers, after the message, came up to the preacher and said, I don't feel any weight of sin. And the preacher asked him if a dead man felt the weight of a 50-pound dumbbell on his chest. Dead men don't feel. And the obvious answer to that is no, they don't. And if we are going through life, we're avoiding responsibility, we're avoiding repenting of sin, we're avoiding of doing the right thing, we're avoiding of living according by faith in the Word of God, that may be that we need to examine, where is my faith? Do I believe the gospel? Do I believe, am I trusting in Jesus Christ, in His death, His burial, and His resurrection? Or am I just associating with a group of people because I like to be called a Christian? So there's the dead faith. The deception of a false faith. I want to look at the description of a true faith. True faith is more than a feeling. In verse 19 of this chapter, of James chapter 2, the Bible says, thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils believe? In Mark chapter 5, there's a story of a maniac, the maniac of Gadara. And in that story, it's an incredible story, but Jesus commanded these demons to come out of this maniac, and the demons fled from Jesus Christ. They were fearful of Jesus Christ. They believed in who Jesus was and is. But their behavior was not affected. The devils believe and tremble. They know who Christ is. They will obey the authority of Christ. If Christ tells a demon to go, he goes. They're fearful of him. But that type of faith is not a true faith. It's not just a fear. It's not just an acknowledgement of who God is. It's more than just a feeling. True faith is lived out each and every day. By the way, our good works do not save us. Faith produces good works. Good works do not produce faith. Or salvation produces good works. Good works do not produce salvation. That's very important that we understand that, because there are a lot of people today, I'll ask them, are you sure you're going to go to heaven when you die? Are you 100% sure that if you're denied that you go to heaven? They'll tell me, yeah, I think so. I've done a lot of good things. And that's great. I'm glad you're not doing bad things, right? That's good. Wonderful. But the idea is our good works never outweigh our bad. The penalty for sin is not good works. The penalty for sin is death, separation from God in the place called hell forever. Eternal life has to die. I don't even have that. I cannot pay for my sin. The only one that has that is God. And God did give himself, dying on the cross, sacrificing himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Life, eternal life, died for me. And faith in him is what brings salvation, not good works. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. That's the key. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So our good works do not save us, but good works are evidence of salvation. They're a testimony of salvation. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The idea is that salvation is supposed to produce something in you. It's supposed to do something in you and for you. And you're supposed to be excited about the things of God and growing in grace. So we see the deception of a false faith. And just a little bit, we looked there at the description of a true faith. It's not works that save us. It's faith that saves, that brings salvation. But I want to look this morning at the dynamic of true faith. How does it work? When a person places faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior, he begins a lifelong work of change in that person. God designs the change. And one of the things that we want to make sure that you're clear on, that we're all clear on, is you don't clean up to come to God. Now, I hear this all the time. People say, well, I'll come to church when I get some things straightened out. Okay, what's that going to do? You know, we don't get straightened out to come to God. We come to God, he saves us, and he straightens us out. That's how it works. He begins this work. The work is called sanctification. It begins the moment we're saved. It continues throughout the rest of our lives as he begins to chip away at our flesh and at what's wrong with us. And by his Spirit, by the Word of God, he begins to change us to be like Jesus Christ, to live the life of Christ. It's an amazing, wonderful journey. And sometimes we go really well and sometimes not so well. And sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back. And sometimes it's one step forward and three steps back. But he's always working in us. He's always beginning to change us. And that is why faith is necessary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." One of the difficulties of the Christian life is beginning to have the courage and the strength to continue living for Christ day after day when you know what you are. Like, I'm a sinner. I'm messed up. I've got problems. I can't live the Christian life. I can't be all the things that people expected me to be or that God wants me to be. And that's true. It's true. We're sinners. But God still loves us, and God still wants to begin that change. And part of that is believing in the process, believing in him, trusting him, having faith in him. Okay, God, I'm messed up. I'm a sinner. I have these tendencies. I have these desires. I have this lust for things I shouldn't do. I'm giving it to you. You got to change me. I'm trusting you to do the change. It's not in me. I can't do this on my own. And that's why we live by faith each and every day, no matter where you're at in your Christian life. You give it to God and say, God, here's my flesh. Here's my problems. You change me. Help me with your word, by your Spirit, to change me. It begins by believing God. True faith believes God. If you look at verse 23 of James chapter 2, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God." That's where it all begins. Believing God about what he says about you. And believing his promises. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Salvation begins with a belief in God's promises. Hey, he tells us, we're sinners. All of us are sinners. Every single one of us. I am a sinner. And because of my sin, the Bible is very clear that I deserve the wages of sin, which is death, separation from God. In a place the Bible defines very clearly as hell. That's what I deserve because of my sin. Nathan Gross, that's me. And all of us are in the same boat. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God comes to us and says, hey, listen, you're a sinner. You're in a mess of problems, but I love you. And I'm sending my Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you on the cross. That if you believe in him, the Bible says, for whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. And if you believe that initial promise, the Bible says, I will bring my Spirit and live with inside you. The process is called being born again. You'll be born again by the Spirit of God. It's an amazing thing. And you become his child. And his Spirit in you will begin to work in you by the Word of God to change you to be more like Jesus Christ. You got to believe his promises. You got to believe what he says about you. And we receive, as we believe his promises, we receive his forgiveness. It was an imputed unto him for righteousness. God accounts us as righteous. He who knew no sin, I quoted this verse earlier, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You, as a sinner, he who knew no sin, became sin for us. He took on our sin so that we might be claimed or accounted as righteous. Not just his righteousness. There was a transaction that happened. He took our sin. We took his righteousness. And when God sees us, He sees the righteousness of his son. Even though in our flesh, we're terrible sinners. And that's the gift of grace. That's the gift of salvation. That's the gift of eternal life. That's amazing. And we believe that. And we live in that. And we trust that. And we, by faith, we said, if God can save me, God can begin to change me. And I say, God, I'm going to, by faith, trust you and your word and your processes to bring about the change in my life. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So true faith believes, and then true faith behaves according to the nature of God. The truth is there are millions of people in the world today who claim the title of being a Christian. And that's one of the frustrating things about being a Christian. It's because you get called out for somebody else did. That's not even Christian. I can't believe Christians will do that. They're not supposed to do that. Christians are such hypocrites. That's not a Christian. You feel like screaming at the top of your lungs. That's not what Christians are supposed to do. But everybody wants to claim to be a Christian. And yet in their faith, in their lives, they will deny him. So it's difficult for Christians to have somebody who claims to be a Christian, but in their lives and the way they live, they deny him. That's tough. And so we need to have a faith that believes and behaves according to the nature of God. That's one of the key parts of being a Christian. That's a key part of living by faith. I think God might be tired of it too, because that's why he tells us, hey, the just, live by faith. Stop living in the flesh. Stop giving me a bad name. We got to live by the word of God. We got to live by faith in what God tells us to do. So true faith is a sacrificial faith. In verse 21, we read this. Was not Abraham our father justified by faith when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? It's a faith that trusts God with the hard choices. You know, there's going to become a time in your life when you have to make a choice that's tough. And you have to make a sacrifice for God because of faith. It may be giving up something that you don't want to give up. It may be a vice that you've allowed in your life, a habit that you've allowed in your life, and it may be something that somebody else can do and be fine with it. But maybe it's become too much for you. Maybe it's become an addiction for you. It's leading you down the wrong path. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a job. You know, there are jobs that God doesn't want us to do. Not every job, just because it pays money, is a good job. There's immoral positions. There's immoral tasks that we shouldn't be doing as a Christian. But it pays really good, Pastor. It has to be of God. Like somehow the devil has no cash register. He pays too. And sometimes it may mean that we have to give up a job. We have to give up a situation. We have to give up something that we really love for Christ. A sacrificial faith. Trusting him that his plan is better. Trusting him that his way is better. And that's tough for any of us to do because we think that we know what's best for us. I know what I like. I know what tastes good to me. I know what feels good to me more than anybody else does. Except for God. By the way, God may know what tastes good to you, but he also knows what's best for you. And oftentimes what tastes good and what's best for us is different. Just because it tastes good doesn't mean it's good for you. Ask any kid what they want to have for lunch, right? Skittles! And if they had Skittles every day for lunch, that's not good for them. And so you got to trust God for what's best for you. It's a sacrificial faith. True faith is also a serving faith. We see this in verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers that had sent them out another way. She was serving. It's a serving faith. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you this land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. And verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you.
For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And she believed in God, and because of that, she served these men who were of the true and living God, and she helped them as they came to spy out Jericho. True faith is a serving faith. It's a giving of ourselves. And oftentimes that's hard to do. One of the things that has been impressed upon me is that there's only so much time that I have in life. And I know we all know that, but sometimes it's kind of hits you a little bit more certain days than others. Like, man, I'm never getting this day back. Like, wow, this whole out, this time it's gone. And once it's gone, it's gone. And I'm not guaranteed of tomorrow. I don't even know how long I'm going to live. It's fleeting. And so there are some things I want to do in this life, right? There are some things I want to experience. And sometimes that serving God might get in the way of that. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes God works through those. Sometimes he gives us the desires of our heart. And other times we have to sacrifice. But if I'm not careful, I might think, man, I've only got a few, I've only got a little bit left to go. Better do what I got to do. Well, what I got to do is serve God, because this life isn't the only life. There's another life to come. And we're not to live for the temporal things, but for the eternal things. We're not to lay up for ourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves do break through and steal. But we're to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. We're to look for eternal things, not temporal things. And then I remind, oh yeah, time is short. I got to serve God. True faith is a serving faith. There's a firefighter. His name was Timothy Stackpole. He was severely burned in a New York City fire in early 2001. And as the month of September 2001 approaches, you know, September 11th, his superior officers approached him and urged him to take an early retirement. He said, they've done your part. You got severely burned. Your retirement is yours. Just take it and be done. But after several meetings, Stackpole finally said, look, I'm going back. It's my calling. I'm a firefighter. His first day back on the job was indeed September 11th. His first call was the World Trade Center Tower 1. And he gave his life serving. And ultimately, I don't know how God is going to call any of us home, but I hope that when I'm called home, I'm serving. I'm doing something for God. I hope I'm not doing something selfish. I hope I'm not doing something fleshly and something carnal. I hope I'm serving God. And to get to that point requires faith. Faith. The just shall live, we might even say die, by faith. Each one of us must have faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And that's where it all begins. And I don't care what your background is. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you've done to get you here to this point. I know one thing. You're a sinner. I don't care how good you've been or how bad you've been, we're all sinners. And the wages of sin is the same for everybody. It's separation from God. But, there's a big but. God loves us. There's a gift of God that he has for you. And the gift of God is eternal life. And that believing will be justified by faith. And therefore will have peace with God. The question that I have for you this morning, and I would doubt that I would ask anybody here today if you're a pretend Christian, right? I would doubt that I say, hey, how many of you guys are assuming the identity of a Christian? Yeah, that's me, Pastor. I'm a fake. None of us would do that. But the key thing is, it's not about a title. It's not about a label. It's about a faith in Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross, and by the way, him alone, not Jesus plus my works, not Jesus plus my church, not Jesus plus my religion, it's Jesus alone.
then today I invite you to trust in Christ, to be saved, to be born again, to have that relationship with him. And the best of thing is free for you. Cost him his only begotten son, but it's free for you. It's by grace through faith. And then if you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior, will each one of us have the faith to work for the glory of God? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, and this is what our world needs. Matthew 5, 16. Let your light show shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's our job as Christians. Let your light shine. Not hate, not racism, but your light. Let it shine. That's what Christ commanded us to do. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And that is all done by faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. I thank you for faith. God, I pray that, I pray that you help each one of us here today to see that the impact of a dynamic faith is to make that decision to live by faith. But first of all, God, I want to ask if there's somebody here today that does not know you as their Savior. They're not sure. They may have labeled themselves a Christian a long time ago, but they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've never had a personal relationship with Christ. If that's somebody here today, God, I pray that today they would be saved. And I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye to be closed. Nobody look around, just for sake of privacy. And if you're here today, say, Pastor, if you was to ask me today if I was a Christian, I would have said yes. But after hearing your message, I cannot say for certainty that Jesus is my Savior. I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I'm not 100% sure that heaven is my home when I die. I don't know. Listen, you're at the right place. And I want you to know that God loves you and we love you. And there's nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed of. But if you're here today and you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven, you don't know for sure that Jesus is your Savior, we can help you with that. It's a simple, easy thing to believe, to have faith. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come forward. I'm not going to have you draw attention to you in any way. But if you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody's looking around, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure. If you'd slip your hand up, just raise it. I'll see it. And you can put it right back down, and I'll pray for you. I'm not going to call you by name. I'm not going to call you out. But if you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. If you'll raise your hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. I'll do it. Would you slip that hand up right now? I see that hand right back there. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Again, nothing to be embarrassed. No issue. But I'd like to pray for you. Is there somebody here like that? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure. And then the invitation is also to believers. I almost wish we could change our title to that, don't you? Believers. Not just Christian, not just a label, but I believe. Will you live by faith? Will you trust God? Will you make the sacrifices? Will you serve him? Ultimately, it's always worth it. And again, our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the one who raised their hand, who had the courage to raise their hand. Lord, I do pray that you would help them today to not leave today without knowing for sure from your word how they can be saved. What a tremendous truth. What an awesome blessing. The gift of God. It's for everybody. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God, I pray that you bless this time of invitation. Help us to live a dynamic faith in the world in which we have to impact, God. There's a world that needs us, that needs our light, that needs us to shine brighter now than ever before. So God, I pray that you help us to, by faith, to let our light shine. That men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I pray that you bless this time of invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned that, you know, you don't come to Jesus by cleaning yourself up. You know, you don't get off your